Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Let it shine forevermore. You know, we send that light out nowhere. Let the light shine before men. And they send your work and glorify God who is in heaven. And doesn't we have got to let our light shine? And we can let our light shine if we only will do that very thing. Life is short and death is quick. Judgment is surely coming. We must prepare now for that time when we must meet our Lord, because we want communion and peace. I'm glad to see you out tonight. I appreciate you coming this week. So many of you have been here every time. I appreciate the invitation to get to come and be with you this week. Please study about the things we've taught you about this week. Please study your Bible. Please remember what I told you about. If you don't get your head in the Word, you're not going to change. If you want to change, you've got to study the book. Take time to be holy. Take time for your Lord. Don't try to fit him in your spare time. Let something go. You can let it go and just take time for the Lord. Always take time for him. How do we measure success? Well, we might measure success by what somebody, how they live in, a car they drive, the clothes they wear, or their bank account. But I think there's more to it than that. I think we see that there is in life. I went on the board for you tonight, several things I want you to consider. But down at the bottom, I don't know how many of you can read this, but I'm going to read it for you. Success in life should be measured by the changes for the good of others which are left behind because we live. I think we all want to make the world a better place. And I think we all, when we die, we like to think that we did something to make the world a better place. Don't you feel that way about your life? You know, some of you here tonight are school teachers. And I think school teachers, they have such a special place in life because they touch so many lives. And so I feel like I know that when you teach those children, you want to do something for them that they might do the things that are right in life. That they might have a head start, I guess I might say. And you know, we, not just school teachers, but we as members of the Lord's church, we want to do things for the Lord's church that people might see the Lord in us. And I think it's something that we've got to decide to do and do it. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter, Peter talks about how we spend our life, and he says in 1 Peter, this is chapter 4 and verse 2, for he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Let me read that again. If you no longer live the rest of your life to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, isn't that a wonderful thought to think about, that we will live and do God's will and not for these fleshly lusts in this life? And if we do that, I think we would agree our life would be successful. And back in the old Bible, in the book of Joshua, where we have our text on the board tonight, that then thou shalt have this success, Moses is now dead. And Joshua is going to be the leader of the children of Israel. And Joshua is one of the 12 spies, one of the two that agreed they could take the land. But Joshua is going to be the leader of the children of Israel. And so God is talking to him. And God said to him in verse 2 that Moses, my servant, is dead. And going on to verse 7 of Joshua 2, and he says to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law, look at verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Now, I mentioned this other night about meditation, how important. And I please remember that. I know there's times that you can't read your Bible, there's times maybe you're in your car or you're working or doing things, but meditation is so important for your spiritual life. Meditate on it. Think about good things. Think about what the Bible says. Think about God's law. And that's what he says here to Joshua. He says, meditate therein day and night. You ever wake up and you got something on your mind? And that's what he's saying to Joshua. Meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, he says, if you do these things, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong, he said to Joshua, and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Look at this. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And sometimes we get afraid, we get dismayed. I don't use that word dismayed much, but we may get dismayed and we get afraid. But Joshua was told by God, don't do that. Keep the law. And he said, you notice what he says? Don't let it depart out of your mouth and meditate on it. And he told Joshua, thou shalt have good success. Now, don't you believe that God wants you to be successful? What do you think? Don't you believe he does? You say, well, sure. God wants me to be successful. But are we successful? Are we really successful? You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, it talks about two men here. And their life was over. And one, in Luke 16, went to heaven. One was saved and one was not saved. In Luke 16, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid in his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Where the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham, and see if Abraham will fall off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence that you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, there are Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, they will rise from the dead. Now we see here a sad picture and also a good story. The beggar was saved. But the rich man was not saved. Now, I think when your life is over, when how sad would you be to know that you have loved ones that are coming there where you are, and you're in hell, and you know they're coming there. You know, life would not be successful if you hadn't lived for the Lord, and you hadn't encouraged your kids to live for the Lord, or your brother to live for the Lord, would it? It could not be successful. And even though the man was rich and had plenty of this world's goods, he was not saved. And so you can have to say his life was a failure. Now, how about our lives tonight? Are we rich in good works? Are we rich in serving God? Is our life a success according to the Lord's work? Or is it just kind of hanging out, off and on, up and down? You know, you have highs and lows. You come and go. You say, well, I come to church when I feel like it, but I don't feel like it tonight. I don't feel like it tonight. I don't feel like it, man. Just kind of comes and goes out of your life. It doesn't matter what the Lord has done for you. You just kind of forget about it. You don't care about it. I think that can't be success. Years ago, Like Ben Solomon said, remember now that Creator in the days of thy youth. And you young people here tonight, you remember God while you're young. He goes on to say, when the evil days come not, when the years go nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in thee. Because things you have pleasure in now, you won't have pleasure in someday. You won't. Remember God while you're young. And that's what made big success, you young people. To remember God. To remember the Lord that made you, that gave you life. That gives you hope of eternal salvation. That's the way to be successful when you're young. And I know we talked last night about some peer pressure. And I know it must be a tremendous amount of peer pressure on y'all, young people. But always remember to do the right thing. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever it is, to be successful, we must do the right thing. Solomon also said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to the God who gave it. He also said, let's take a conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole thing of man. Fear God, keep God's commandments. If you want to be successful, you must fear God and keep God's law, just like He told Joshua. Be strong. Be of good courage, Joshua. Don't be dismayed. Don't be a coward. Joshua, be strong. Be of good courage. The things that the greatest successful story that's ever been in the world is the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, He came to this world. This old man of sin and sorrow. He suffered. He bled. He died on the rugged cross of Calvary. No other one has ever influenced so many lives as He did. And you know, that's been almost 2,000 years ago. And He's still influencing lives even tonight, even today. Oh, yes, He does. Praise His blessed name. Bless His holy name. He's doing so much for us. But friends, what about my life and yours? How can I be a success? Well, the first thing is, it must be a life of preparation. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, do people perish. It must be a life of preparation. No one builds a successful life accidentally. It is made by being prepared. You remember the story of the old Bible about a woman by the name of Hannah. And Hannah did not have any children. It's found in the book of 1 Samuel. And she prayed to God for a child. And I want you to notice carefully what this woman prayed and said to God. Now, I don't remember another prayer that really close to being like this, but listen to what Hannah said. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, since she had no children, look on me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Can you imagine praying that to the Lord? If you just give me a boy. I don't have any children, Lord. And you know it. But if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. All the days of his life, he's going to be here. So, Samuel was born. And is it no wonder that he was as strong and such a faithful servant of God as he was? Because he's not prepared for his life. Before he was ever born. Let me see parents on here tonight. Now, I know you work hard. I know you kind of split out and this sort of thing. But how much thought do you give to your children's spiritual well-being? Do you give a lot of thought to it? Do you give a lot of thought to it? I know you want them to go to school. I know you want them to study their books and make good grades. I know that. But what about their spiritual well-being? Do you give them to the Lord? Do you set the right example in front of them as you live your life? Do they see God in you? Do they see Jesus in your life? Do they see love and caring? Do they see the leadership they need to see? See, you want him to be the lowest. Now, you want him to serve the lowest. And I think it'd be so wonderful to see your child grow up and be a servant of God. To know that if their life ended even today, they'd be ready to go and meet the Lord and meet him in peace. Sometimes we get so strung out that we just kind of get what's really important in life. That was so important. Timothy was a faithful Christian. And Paul talked to him about, if he wrote a letter to Timothy, and that's, we're going to find that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to notice carefully what Paul said to him. And he said to Timothy, this is verse 2 of 2 Timothy 1, to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I remember to be in my prayers night and day. Now, Paul's talking about Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, notice verse 5. When I call for remembrance, the unfeigned. Now, what is unfeigned? It means sincere. The sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Your grandmother and your mother, and they pass it down. Success, would you say Timothy's life is successful? I think we would agree that it was. Paul's life is successful. Was grandmother successful? And mother successful? I would think we would agree that it was. How do you measure success? How do you tell it is successful? It's by these very things that we see right here about these people. They took time to raise up their children and their grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, Abraham Lincoln studied and worked hard. When asked why, he said, I will prepare myself and my time will come. History records that when his time came that he was ready. Problems and trials come to us in this life. We're told to resist the devil. We're told to fight, find a way of escape when temptation comes. But friends, how can we do that? Well, the answer is found in Psalms 119, 11 and 12. The psalmist said here says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, think about what he said here, what David said. He said, thy word I hid in my heart. I kept it inside thee that I might not sin against thee. How many times is what you taught your child from God's word that they remember? And they don't sin against God. There is no telling how far it's carried them in this life. Your study of God's Word, as you hide this Word in your heart, as you think about what you've read and what you've studied and what God has done for you, it keeps you from sinning against God. And if you're going to be successful, you've got to prepare. And let me say something else to you. Prepare each day. Prepare each day. When you get up in the morning, thank God for that day. Thank God for the night's rest. Thank God for your house. Thank God for all the blessings of life. And prepare your mind to meet the world, to face the world, and to do what is right that whole day long. And we're going to be faced with things as we meet people in this life. We're going to meet people that are rude. Oh, yes. You ever go sometime in a store and somebody waits on you? And you know, it's like they... You feel like it. They don't want to wait on you. You kind of short with you and this sort of thing. And you know, we say that. Well, we can't retaliate. You can't say anything. That's you must be pleasant. You must be nice. You must prepare yourself to deal with the world on that day. Because that's the smallest thing you got to deal with. It's not bad, is it? Prepare your life to serve God. Prepare by study. Prepare by positive thinking. Satan's temptations will come. Jesus Christ has prepared to tell Satan, it is written. It is written. We also should tell Satan, it is written. And when you prepare your land and groundwork,
supposed to possess a life of serving God.
And number two, it must be a life of faith if we want to be successful. The Christians live by faith and walk by faith. Paul talked about his life. He says, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he is able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. And friends, to me, that's one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, what Paul said. He said, I committed certain things to the Lord. I know I believe in him. I've committed things to him for that judgment day that's coming. And he's going to keep it for that day. He's going to judge me on that day. My life that I've lived down here, I've committed it to the Lord. It was a life of faith. Oh, yes, it was. You know, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. You've got to believe that God is. You've got to believe that God will reward you. And friends, if you're going to be successful in life, you must have a life of faith. You must have this faith in your Lord. You must have that. In the Old Testament, in Hebrews 11, he talks about so many people, how they lived and how what happened to them. Remember that story about they were sown asunder? They wondered about his sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, afflicted, tormented, all these things that they went through. Since they all got in faith, though. Now, how did they do that, my friend? They realized that it's not man that directs their steps. It's God. As Jeremiah the prophet said, it's not in man to direct his own steps. In fact, it's not in your mind to direct your own steps. It's in the will of God. You need His will in your life. You need Him in your life to direct your life. But we think sometimes, well, I can go on by myself. I can do things by myself. No, you need the Lord in your life. It's not in man to direct his own steps. If we are left alone, you know what we're doing? Let me ask you this. First, he's out on the interstate out here. They just took down all this speed in this thing. What do you think we'll do? Drive slower? No. I don't think we will either. I think we'll drive faster. We need laws. We need regulations. Do you think if we get away with the Bible, it would be better people? Absolutely not. Because we need God's law. We need God's guidance. And you know the beautiful thing about this for me is? I always know God loves me. I always know God knows what's best for me. But even though sometimes His Word may not be what I want to hear, some things are hard in that to me. Because it goes against what I may want to do. But what do I always know? It's always best. No matter what it is. No matter how hard it may seem, it's the best way for me to live. Because I don't want to live the rest of my life for the will of men, do we? For the lust of this flesh, as Peter says. We want to live our life for the will of God. We must have faith in God. We must believe that His way is best. Always, and it is best. We must always accept His way in everything. We must recognize the need for God to guide our lives. Willing to have Him direct our path. Let me say that again. We must recognize the need for God to guide our lives and direct our path. When you do that, please do that. Realize your need for God. He will guide you. He will lead you. And you know what? If you ever thought about this in the Bible, how much that God tells you to depend on Him? You know, we're kind of raised and like to be self-sufficient. Even when you're young, you know, your mom and dad, they want to send you to school, and then you get up and you get a learn a trade and things like that. And we want to kind of be on our own. You know what I mean? But you know, that's not the way the Bible teaches. You ever thought about that? Oh, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me. Come unto me, all you laboring, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Depend on God. Whatever it is in life, whatever you're facing in life, depend on God to be with you. Pray to God. Trust in God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's a true friend that will always be there to the very end of your life. You know, I went to a good friend of mine, funeral today. He fought cancer for several months. But he and I worked together. We got real close. together. He was saying it. He was saying it. But when I sat there today and heard that man speak, you know, I know someday that's come to me too. And I know I'll face that. You know you're going to face that. We must be ready. We must be ready to meet him. Galatians 2 and 20, Paul talks about his life. He talks about how he's given up so many things and what he is now. And he says in verse 20 that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, friends, that is a beautiful statement. Paul says, I'm dead, but I'm living. And Christ lives in me. I'm not the same man I used to be, Paul said. I don't have the same affections. I don't have the same desires. I don't serve what I served before. Christ lives in me. And he goes on to say in the last part of that verse, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I live this life now in this faith of Jesus Christ my Lord. Friends, those words are so powerful. And when you get depressed and when you feel down, you read Galatians 2 and 20. It will lift you up. It will inspire you, as Paul talked about his life better. Oh, this faith. This was not conceit, not at all, but faith that God would be with him and guide him and protect him. It must be a life of righteousness. Righteousness exalted the nation as soon as they were close to any people, Proverbs 14 and 34 says. Righteousness exalts us. Doing the right thing. Treating people right. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the psalmist David said. We're a nation under God. Even the money that we have in our pockets, it says, inscribed on this, in God we trust. In America, it's been a blessed nation. America, for many, many years, has been a God-fearing nation. Oh, yes, it has. God has been ahead in many ways, in many homes. We worry about where we're going. Perhaps it'll turn around. Perhaps people will again turn to God. We must do what is right. All the commandments are righteous, David said in Psalms 119. Paul said, the righteous shall live by faith. If you would be successful in life, you must be willing to do always what is right. Always what is right. The successful life cannot be based on deceit, dishonesty, or immoral living. That will not be successful. You cannot be deceitful and be successful. You cannot be immoral. You cannot be dishonest. Many today ignore what is right in our world because they think it's for their best interest to do something different. People don't keep their word, and they say it. We talked the other night about the promises of God. So many times people promise things and they don't keep their promise. Marriage vows are broken. Contracts between businessmen and businesswomen are broken because they don't keep their promise. But brother, we must keep our promise. We must do what is right. We must take care of our neighbor. Who is my neighbor, the Lord asked. And Jesus told him the story about what we call the Good Samaritan, about the man who had been wounded and left half dead. We call it the Good Samaritan because the Good Samaritan came by and took care of this man that he did not know, even paid his bills. He said, if he costs me more to take care of him, I'll pay that also. The question is asked sometimes, why should we? Why should I do that? Well, I think the answer to that lies in Ephesians 6 and 1. But the writer says, come and obey your parents and the Lord. And he says four words. For this is right. For this is right. Children, obey your parents, not because you may be punished, not because you may get rewarded, but you obey your parents because it is the right thing to do. And your children tonight, you children here tonight, always obey your parents. It is the right thing to do. It goes so much today in our life. to do what is right. For this is right. To be successful in life, you must follow a course. It is bounded by certain rules. It is bounded by doing what is right. No other reason should be needed. But just to know this is the right thing to do. You may have done something like that for somebody or some group of people because you knew it was right to do. It may have cost you. It may have cost you money or your time. It may have cost you quite a bit. Like the Good Samaritan. Like the Good Samaritan did. He took time. He took his money. He took care of him. He put him on his own beast. Took him to where he could be taken care of even better. Because it was the right thing to do. It must be a life of dedication. Oh, let him deny how dedicated I was. Give me liberty or give me death. I found and followed. Said many years ago. We agreed. We pledged to each other. Our fortune, our sacred honor, they did. Dedicated to being a created equal. Patrick Henry to Abraham Lincoln to call it forth. Dedicated to God's principles. Dedicated to doing what is right. The dedication of these men that lived many years ago in America gave us opportunities we now enjoy. And they gave their lives for what you and I are experiencing today. The Apostle Paul, he came to Jerusalem one time. He stopped in Caesarea. And they informed him, they said, Paul, if you go back to Jerusalem, you will be put to death. You will be put in jail. Don't go back. They will kill you there, Paul. And Paul said in Acts 21, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? Well, I am ready not to be bound only, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm ready. They said, Paul, don't go. Paul said, I've got to go. Whatever faces me there, I've got to face it. Do you think you'd go back to a place like that? If you were told that, don't go to Rig Island, you're going to be put in jail, you may be killed. Paul said, I'm going. Why do you weep? Why do you break my heart? Why are you so sad about this, Paul said? He said, I'm ready. I'm dedicated to go to jail. What have I got to do? Paul looked at all the things he'd given up in Christ. He talked about it one time. He said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. For whom I suffered the loss of all things, and you count them but dumb that I may win Christ. Paul said, everything I've left behind, I walked away from it. I walked away from my friends. I walked away from my job, so to speak. He said, it defeated Gamaliel. He said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was very devoted to what he was as a Pharisee. He said, I turned my back on that, all that. For the cause of Jesus Christ, I walked away from it because Paul was dedicated. Was he successful? Absolutely, wasn't he? But why are we just talking about Paul? Can't we be talking about ourselves? How dedicated are you? Oh, my friends. It's so sad sometimes to see people that are so undedicated to the Lord. It really is. Kind of like the boy telling his girlfriend how much he loves it. Oh, he said, I love you so much. There's just no way for me to describe to you how much I love you. You're more than anything this world. He told her about his great love for her. He said, I swim the deepest river. I climb the highest mountain just to be with you. And as he was leaving, he said, I'll see you not tomorrow night if it's not raining. You know, sometimes we're like that without the Lord, aren't we? We'll come to church if it's not raining. We'll be there. We'll try to thunder that comes outside and say, well, let's stay inside. Well, for some reason, looking for something to stay at home. Some way to stay at home. Hey, how can we ever expect to be dedicated? How can we ever expect our children to be dedicated when we live such a life as that? We can't ever expect them to be. They're not going to be. They're not going to be. Success. How successful are we? And then it must be a life of enthusiasm. How enthused are you? Are you always got the blogs? Don't have the blogs. I know you've got aches and pains like we've got aches and pains, but I know you like to tell them. But you know what it does? That don't help you, does it?
Well, somebody asked how you do it, you can't tell a lie under that.
But are we enthusiastic about life itself? The other way up in the morning said, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You ever do that? You'll see the sun coming up. You ever be in the woods and the sun coming up, seeing that mist rising up off the ground, and the birds are singing? And it's just so quiet in many ways, except for the birds singing. You think what a wonderful world it is. You have to go to church. It's a good thing tonight. Maybe I know we had a good thing here tonight. It seems like tonight we just all kind of joined in for some reason. Maybe it's just my thought. But if you ever sit in church and think about this wonderful thing that we enjoy singing together, no piano, there's no guitar, and yet we sing praises to God. You ever sit and read His Word and get enthused about it? You ever get encouraged by what the Bible says? You ever be encouraged by seeing what we saw the other night, a young child come to be baptized? Other young children coming, and you have many young children here at Mount Carmel. You have babies, you have young children. Some of these young boys get up and they sing you. Does that not enthuse you? Does that not encourage you? Does that not do something to you inside? Don't you see the possibilities of the life of God? Don't you see the possibilities of great success in people's lives? And like I said on the board up here, changes for the good of others when we are gone, which are left behind. That's what we want to do, is help people to live for the Lord. And like the last night said, and true success must be determined by our preparation for eternity. Well, things that no matter in life what I have in life, if I die unprepared, my life will not be a success. It will not be a success. Yours will not either. It's a sad story of what we read in the book of Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus talks here about the church at Laodicea. When you talk about those people there, he says, you're neither cold and you're not hot. You just look warm. Because, he says, whether you be cold or hot, because you look warm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now I want you to ask yourself a question. I want you to answer it to yourself, please. That's in Revelation 3, but I'm not going to read it all. But if you describe yourself towards your Lord, would you feel like that you're what? You're hot, or you're cold, or you're just kind of mediocre? How do you feel about your life? You know, when we see the church at Laodicea, and we feel like to say we're not enthusiastic, don't we? Just kind of not just there. Just there and without all. How do you describe the church here at Mount Carmel? Where does it stand? How would God describe the church here at Mount Carmel? This congregation here. And also ask yourself the question, what kind of church would this church be if all the members were just like me? What would it be like? What would it be like? Be fair. Think deeply within your life. We must be enthusiastic. You know, Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9, and I know there's a lot of things that we read in the Bible, but this is so inspiring here, what he said about his life. He said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he said, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection. Paul is saying, I control my body. I let my body subject to what is right. And we've talked to you this week about some things that wrong or right or whatever. And when you see something is wrong, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't take part in that. Keep your body under subjection. Because Paul said, I do that with my body. If it by any means when I preach to others, when I preach to others by myself, it'd be a castaway. We have got control of our body. You know, I know there's a just talking today, this funeral I went to with my friend, his name is talking about Charles Johnson is his name, Charles. He said, Charles, he's a man that had, he had a strong will. He said, Doc told me to quit smoking. He said, Charles, quit. He give it up. And so many things in life sometimes are not easy to quit. It's not easy to walk away from and not do anymore. I know that. But we must say, we keep our body under subjection. We keep it under control. We do the right thing. We must be enthusiastic. You ever heard the old saying, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You should work with a man whose daddy said you should tell him that. He said, my daddy always said, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Paul said in Romans 12, present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Present your body as a living sacrifice. And friends, when we do, we're doing it the right way. Success. Prepare yourself. Live by faith. Do what is right. Dedicate yourself to the truth. Success God wants you to have. Dedicate yourself to it. Be dedicated with it. Live your life with enthusiasm. Live your life for God. It's been wonderful to be with you tonight. You've been very attentive to what's up to you. I trust the words I said to you tonight have been encouraging to you, that you will see what true success really is. That you will decide tonight to do what you must do to be ready to meet your Maker. If you're not a member of the Lord's Church, I ask you tonight to come and be baptized. Don't put it off. There won't be a better time than tonight. The water's ready. If there was a preacher, maybe I'm not ready. But the truth is, probably way past ready. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, if you're willing to repent of your sins, you can come tonight and be baptized and be born again. Oh, happy day. That takes my choice and be my Savior and my God. We have made us their own heart rejoice and spread his wrath to all of us. Happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He's done the straight transaction done. I am my Lord and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, come to confess the voice divine. Happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. You can wash yours away tonight. You can wash yours away tonight if you'll come tonight. As we stand and sing the song, come to the front. If you're a member of the church, perhaps you have not lived as you should, come back tonight. Come back tonight with dedication. Come back tonight with determination. Come back tonight with enthusiasm. Come back tonight in full faith. So spend the rest of your days in this life serving Satan. Spend the remainder of your days in serving God. And when you leave this world, you have made it a better place because you were God's servant. If you've done wrong, then come out tonight and ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. And God will forgive you. And you can be a better member of the Lord's body in your life. Don't put it out of your mind. Don't try to think about something else now. Think about your life. Are you ready to meet your Lord? Won't you come to the front as we stand and as we sing?